Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face.
Halo, humans. I love it.
I swallowed liquids in my mouth. That's not.
Let's keep going.
Body justice. And it made me sound funny. Anyways.
This is the Halo music starting the podcast.
I've got it down to the end. Oh. I don't know. Now I'm going to play Halo 3 Alien.
Have you seen the video of Mike Pence announcing Space Force? And it's just the exact same thing, but they just put the Halo 3 theme over it.
Right, next thing you know, I'm going to have an AI chip in my head.
This is not a podcast about video games. This is a podcast about music news.
Music, music culture, music everything, music politics, hashtag no politics. We got some stuff for you. We're going to keep it short because we got shit to do, and yes.
I mean, this is, we've had a bit of a lull music-wise this past couple of months, and we're about to get out of it. But you know what? We're a little bit busy. We decided to do an audio-only episode for you. So for those of you ride or dies who listen to the podcast every single week, none of this is going on video, so this is just for you. later in the show, we'll be doing Ariana Grande's new album, Sweetener, and Mitski's Be the Cowboy, because those are pretty much the only two things musically that were kind of out this week. But we have some other fun news that we have to talk about.
What the flying fuck?
Firstly, the quote-unquote new single of the week is this viral video thing that I saw at work, and I was like, oh, this is never going to reach outside of this weird, like, echo chamber of media just laughing at dumb things for 5 seconds and having, like, 20-second in-jokes. But no, this video of this, like, woman dancing with this not beautifully done green screen thing, like, dressed as a cow, is just, like, one of the most ridiculous things ever, but it's captivating people online entirely. Sean, just sigh. You just don't care. This is really funny. Yeah, it's viral. It's not meant to be funny, but it's called Moo, and it's kind of funny.
It's whatever.
Yeah. There's a news article that I found that was pretty cool. There's a song that reduces anxiety by 60%, allegedly. They did this study where they were trying to find... They basically put these people to conduct these... to solve puzzles. And they tested how stressed these people were while solving these puzzles. And they did it in a scientific way and found that there's one song, specifically Weightless by Marconi Union.
Ah, that's cool. They have a playlist, and they have Strawberry Swing by Coldplay.
Yeah.
Which is one of my very favorite
Coldplays. Oh, there's Che Salva e Freddo by Mozart.
Yeah.
But yeah, they found, there's a playlist of really relaxing songs that maybe I'll include in
you
here.
You know, that's cool, because Strawberry Swing A is on my playlist.
Which we should...
The Woke Sean playlist of U.S. sanctioning Iran will lead to World War III.
Which we need to... We will actually... This is going to be fun. I released a playlist along with the podcast that people could listen to, 22 Savage, the ultimate party playlist. And Sean's going to have his own that we're going to link to soon once you come up with a URL for it.
Audioface.woke.
You can't do that. I don't have .woke.
Can we make .woke a thing?
Dear God. Talk to the Internet Council for that. But,
You can relay your decisions to the council.
Some sad music news that happened this week. Aretha Franklin passed away. Mm-hmm. Queen of Soul, as she's considered. A lot of artists kind of...
She performed at Obama's inauguration.
She did, and she refused to perform at Trump's inauguration.
That's right.
She was invited to, and just like a hard pass. born in 1942, died in 2018. Now we know, of course. What was it? Age 76.
Do you know any like cause of death or?
Pancreatic cancer.
That's game over. Like,
yeah.
Literally, you hear pancreatic cancer, like, well.
Yeah.
That's what killed Steve Jobs. That's game over.
But she lived.
Not much you can
do. She lived a like. Everyone around her, of course, remembers her as this... I think I saw a post from her granddaughter that was just like, I just remember her as my grandmother who just played the piano all the time. And just they think of her as this really fond, just like nice older matriarch figure. Yeah.
And then...
There's also Jill Janus, who was a metal artist that died of suicide at age 43. Mm. Again, we've talked about this ad nauseum to the point where it's almost like depressing, but artists and musicians who have taken their lives early.
Well, on a positive note, it's the first... suicide I've heard in a while.
Yeah, it's...
Like, which is sad, but kind of true.
Yeah, we've had a good summer where people are holding off on the suicides. But, like, no, it's... It, not to be too glib about it, but it hasn't happened. You haven't been hearing these stories happen as much in a while. But anyways, she was a singer for Huntress. This is this metal group. And she had talked about her mental health issues before as well. But
we've talked so much about it.
It is every single time. It's just music. Being a musician is just one of those weird things where you feel like you're expressing everything, but you're not.
In general.
Yeah.
So on to some crazy or stupid shit. An FBI's most wanted fugitive does the Drake's Do the Shiggy challenge as he's apprehended.
Which is the End My Feelings challenge, the same thing. Which we talked about in a couple episodes ago on Audio Face, where a guy just gets hit by a car while doing the
so
challenge.
He's getting arrested. He goes, Kiki, do you love me? You need to... You know what? I don't want to edit.
You really shouldn't.
I want to edit, but...
I mean...
No,
honestly, in defense of this guy, it's game over for him.
It is game over.
He's arrested. He's on the FBI's most wanted list for...
That means he dies.
Like, need I remind you, 2 counts of first-degree murder.
Oh, he did.
Okay, so... Well, it depends which state it happened when he's dead. Whichever state he did it in, depending on how well they do the death penalty. That's an interesting choice of words. I mean, apprehended is like wherever you're found, you're found. But wherever you did the crime, it's the crimes of
that state. Which, you know, sometimes just get the chopping block. Roll out the guillotine.
One of the few semi-leftist podcasts for capital punishment.
Oh, I mean, shit, of course.
But my point was that...
Less humans, I'm gonna own.
My point was that overpopulation is a serious issue that I don't think we talk about enough, but let's... No politics. And this could get us in trouble. But my main defense of what I was saying was that if you're arrested and you're on the FBI's most wanted list, of course you're gonna do something ratchet when you're arrested. He's getting taken off...
I'm doing a crip walk or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting ratchet if I get arrested by the FBI.
So, like...
I'm on the FBI's most wanted list.
Yeah. I mean, peace living is best life. Here's this murderer living his best life. Okay,
oops!
Ariana Grande's new album, Sweetener, came out. Sean tread carefully because we had to end an episode about this, or on this similar topic. But, it's a pop album, 15 songs, 47 minutes long, so it could be a little bit worse, I guess.
Most of the songs are lowercase.
This is a bold decision.
They don't have, half of them don't have capitals. First word capital. God damn it.
Basically, none of them do except REM, which is an abbreviation, and God is a woman, and people argue about spelling God with a capital letter. I say nothing gets capital letters because, I don't know.
Capital punishment.
Artistically aesthetic. So it's anti-trap in that sense. The song titles are not all capital letters, but nevertheless, what did you think about this album?
Her voice is really good.
The
first song, which is Raindrops, in parentheses, an angel cried, is just 40 seconds of her just going.
It's like working out her voice.
Oh my god. A cappella.
Yeah.
With nothing. And I go, okay, that's John. And then the song right after that is with Not a Little Robot Man because he doesn't age, Pharrell Williams. Not a Little Old Day Rap Star.
Well, he has a blood boy, I'm pretty sure.
He's a vampire. He's
allegedly.
Goes to no. Anyways, overall, it was okay. I don't like pop. I mean, anybody who listens to this knows that, really. And I'm trying to remember if was there any trap?
So there are parts of the album where
I heard trap snare.
Yeah, because it's pop, and so.
And trap snare isn't pop. I mean, it's the same thing as it's. Getting into alternative music, because half of alternative music now is pop.
Yeah, so like...
And if you do pop, you can do it the right way, you can do it the wrong way. And this half of this album is like the right way to do pop, if you like that genre, which I just don't, but I can appreciate, okay, I know this is what you're making, and what you're doing a good thing of what you are making it for. What?
You're doing good for what it is.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's not like you're revolutionizing music or anything, you know? This isn't her Kid A.
Right. But, you know, it's like, Ariana Grande is expected to make pop albums. She made a pop album as a pretty decent pop album, is what you're saying.
Basically exactly it.
Yeah.
Nothing really stood out to me, honestly.
As far as stylistically, I can kind of describe everything you can expect in this album just by saying that it has this kind of synth, thing that's trying to do, like synth pop, but not quite. Like synth pop is almost overstating it, because synth pop is almost an alternative thing where they do try to experiment often,
like
in the genre.
Two Time from 1975.
Yeah.
That's synth pop.
Yeah. It's like pop using synthesizers. And this is just kind of like, it has that same kind of tone.
A hybrid version of it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go straight experimental.
It's a manufactured version of synth pop.
Yeah, it's just because of how big of an artist she is and how many producers and shit that would be on such a big title.
But you would think with, I mean, I don't know the credits of this album, but you would think with, if there are a number of producers of with this pop album, if there are with most pop artists,
well, most there are.
You'd expect there to be some variation in the production of the songs, but really they aren't all that different. Some songs happen to have the trap hi-hat snare thing, but other than that, not really. And Ariana Grande is kind of this weird mix between a pop artist and a singer-songwriter kind of artist. And we've reviewed singer-songwriter albums before, and it's kind of the same thing of, it's weird how you choose to judge the music part of it, because that artist has so little part, has so little say in it, really. But overall, I mean, like, the sound's okay. I think it's just kind of phoned in, if you will.
It's nothing wild.
But that's, like, it's the definition of pop, honestly. So, I think our ranking system today will be surfboards. Tesla surfboards. Let's go in.
Yeah, whatever.
Why not? The more Tesla surfboards, the worse, because you have to pay for all the flatbeds.
Because they'll snap on your first break. You try to stand up on it, and you nosedive into the ground.
I bet it's so hard to balance on those.
Probably, I think they're all shortboards. Anyways.
Out of five. So five more Tesla shortboards. Actually, no. Five is too round, even of a number.
15.
Mm-mm. 12. 12.
This is like
worse is five? Worse. More is worse.
Five?
No. Words? Yeah.
Like a middle ground, because I just don't like it. I think I hate pop music because it's overhyped. And everyone's like, oh my god, this is so good, blah, blah, blah. Fuck off. You're not revolutionizing music, you're not doing anything specifically different.
You have right.
a voice and whatnot, but it's not.
It's not my
It's not, you know, like Sam Smith last year. Love that shit.
Yeah.
That's because he's really, I mean, he's worked with a lot of people who not have totally revolutionized music, but have done something a little different. He's kind of in the mainstream.
Yeah.
In it.
Yeah.
What Sam Smith is now.
Yeah.
But he's still kind of that, not as popular as her.
Yeah. And there,
and it's okay.
And there are pop artists, like, you can consider Lady Gaga to be a pop artist for sure, but does, she pushed,
but
like,
she,
what
she
pop
pushes,
could really be.
The limit.
Yeah.
She really goes for it, and I respect her as an artist big time.
Yeah, and so this is, like, fine, but it's just
fine.
Nothing
it's not
amazing.
My, it's not
and
my cup of tea.
To be honest, I didn't want to listen to this album. I was, like, looking forward to this the least, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah,
that
it was
like,
bad.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be bad, and I go, oh, it's not.
Yeah.
It's just standard. There's nothing.
Yeah, it's just
special.
Nothing to write home about, but it's, like, not bad. Like, I'm not going to brag on it by any means other than not being that original. But anyways, now it's time for Woke Pearl Jam. Because Pearl Jam has decided to defend their anti-Trump poster, which depicted Trump's course rotten and being picked at by a bald eagle on the lawn of the White House. Which at first I didn't recognize the course because it was too skinny. But, I mean, first of all, Pearl Jam's a very political band. And
fucking good.
Yeah. I've actually read something that I didn't want to include in the show, but I think Dennis Rodman broke up a Pearl Jam concert because he wanted to, like, play ukulele or something. I don't know everything about the story,
the
and I don't care enough.
Hell? Dennis Rodman's wild.
Yeah. But
a lot of piercings.
That's absolute facts.
I don't want eight.
Jeff Ament, the bassist from Pearl Jam who designed the poster, along with Bobby Brown, I believe, said, quote, "The role of artists is to make people think and feel, and the current administration has us thinking and feeling. I was the sole conceptualist of this poster, and I welcome all interpretations and discourse. Love from the First Amendment, Jeff Ament."
He put the First Amendment in there, so let it pass.
You'll allow it.
I'll allow it, because normally, you know my stance on this shit, I hate when a lot of people start whining and complaining about,
And we've
had... Because of all of last year, especially last year's battle.
Yeah.
Now this year's like the wokeness, the people who... No, they're talking about. They're like, hey, we're coming out.
Yeah, and
selling melanin than selling black man.
It's political art, and if it makes you uncomfortable, you're probably a Trump supporter. So, I mean, take your biases out of that, which is fine, but take your biases out of it.
R. Kelly.
I don't understand why this is happening, because R. Kelly's playing Madison Square Garden, which is one of his highest profile shows in a while, and remember, this is, we've gone this ad nauseum, and this, the audio face position is that if you're an artist who has been proven multiple times, or like, it's pretty apparent that like, you're a shitty person, whether you try to accuse, allegedly not, whatever, like, we all know R. Kelly's past. The industry should not be reinforcing his behavior by setting him up for opportunities like playing Madison Square Garden. Like, yeah. And so learning that out was just kind of like ridiculous. MSG has a long history of not censoring performers, which means just like MSG likes money.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's sad. You really wish things would be better than that. Next up, Coachella. So this is a really interesting thing that people actually, I don't know. Maybe you're interested in music, you'll really hear about this, but Coachella has this radius clause that basically dictates that artists can't perform on the west coast of the United States too close to Coachella if they're headlining. So it's like an exclusivity deal. Where like,
how did Radiohead do that? With Radiohead played Berkeley when we saw them.
We'll go further. This is a clause that exists, but there are many examples of it not being, like, of there being, I guess, exceptions to the rule. And your EDM pointed out a lot. Like, for example, No Name played both Sold Out and Coachella this year. SZA headlined Coachella and Buku. And artist Alice in Wonderland and Flatbush Zombies also played Buku. Illenium and Black Bear played Coachella and Okeechobee. And Ultra had a crossover with Coachella, including, had a bunch of it, including Rez, Son Holo, Maceo Plus, Jack Master, and like you just mentioned, Radiohead as well. And so this seems to be the weakest exclusivity deal of all time.
The shittiest deal ever. That is no deal.
Yeah.
No deal.
Because I think people are realizing this and they're going like, okay, Coachella, give me all the money, but no, you don't get an exclusivity deal on us. It's funny, I didn't think this existed, but I mean, business is business.
Business.
I knew it. But yeah, you look into this and it seems like Coachella has this restrictive, you look into it, man. It looks like Coachella has this like really restrictive policy, but you look at it and not really, which is sort of surprising that I guess artists are able to get around the,
Exclusivity.
I was going to make some big thing about artists being cogs in the capitalist machine that is the music industry, but
I don't feel like being woke. I'm too tired.
Yeah, it's what you get when you record a podcast late at night when you still have things to do and you've just been like out all day. All week. I got no break this week. Oh no, I'm having fun though. Update: Kodak Black has been released from jail. Let's get some context, because we've talked about Kodak Black a lot of times in this podcast. He was released from Broward County Jail around 1 a.m. Saturday, according to Miami Herald. He was arrested there originally because, which we talked about on Audio Phase 33.
33,
yeah. Yeah, it's been...
Has it been that long?
I'll remind you, though, episode 33 was this year.
I know it was this year. That's like February.
Yeah, it's like late January, early February.
Yeah, before I crashed.
But he had been arrested because of a felony weapons possession. He wasn't supposed to have weapons. And he was seen on Instagram at a party brandishing a weapon and with a bunch of people smoking weed around his toddler son on Instagram. So he was arrested for that.
Where people get to jail.
Instagram is the new rap snitches conditions.
It really is. We've had so many where it's like Lil Pump had a giant bag of weed and then got arrested right then.
Breaking news, Fed's on Instagram, so watch out for that, rappers. But no, he also had this previous history of sexual misconduct and all this other stuff, and he'd been in jail multiple times, but he changed his name while he was in jail to Bill K. Capri, and he got his GED. While he was there. So there are worse things to do while being in jail. And I actually came to an unusual defense of him because they're putting him in solitary confinement. Ooh. And I like, I just disagree with that as a, as a method of, you see, what a podcast. I'm for the death penalty in theory, like not actually in practice. I'm against it because we fuck up DNA things like that. But if we didn't fuck it up, like there are a bunch of times where, oh, we have DNA evidence. This person did the crime. And they review the DNA evidence 10 years later and find they didn't do the crime. And so like DNA evidence was supposed to be the for sure way we know if someone did a really heinous crime or not, and then we gave them the death penalty and we thought that was like cut and dry. We're finding out that's not. And so I'm like, okay, we being Americans, but humans, keep fucking up the death penalty because we keep killing people that are innocent. Mm. If there were a foolproof way to kill people who were not innocent for very extreme crimes, I would not be opposed to it. But that doesn't exist. That's my opinion on the death penalty. But I'm also against solitary confinement. Am I not merciful?
I think you should just get a 45 and blow people's brains out when needed.
Judge Sean.
Man, I would be the craziest judge ever. Like, you get the death penalty, and then you
just keep
it. And then I just have a 45 just like dangling, me swatting over there, looking at his face with his eyes wide open, looking over his baby mama like, I'm gonna do it.
Next.
I'm gonna do it. Next, you just hear a clock. Man,
next
dollars.
It's Sean's Justice Hut.
Next.
Sean's Justice Hut.
I want that. Can we make this a segment? Sean's Justice Hut.
I just love the idea of Sean as a judge somewhere. Just keeping a Colt 45 by him.
Oh, man.
As he's making judgments.
I'm gonna have a straight like 357 Magnum with me in my left pocket at all time just in case. Look over back. I need to die.
Sean the Decider. Okay.
Judge, jury, and executioner.
Great song. Mitski. Let's talk about Mitski. She's like this kind of alternative-ish artist. R&B.
Experimental sort of alternative is what I would say. Like a Bjork White.
Yeah, definitely. Been making music. I've seen EPs come out around 2012, so it's been a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, she had albums come out after that.
Yeah, there's an EP that came out in 2012, and then albums that have come out since then, for sure. There's Puberty 2 that I remember. Bring Me a Makeout Creek apparently came out in 2014. Yeah, but so anyways.
There's one that didn't come out that.
Yeah. Now is Be the Cowboy. It's a 14-song, 32-minute album, which if you, for all our math physicians at home, that's around 2 minutes a song, which is about right. Yeah, every song is
about that.
Really no more than 2 minutes, some of them less, and then a couple are 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
And then the last song's 4 minutes long. But ultimately,
I like that. It's different than being shorter with a lot of songs. So you could get feel like it's a complete album without being the trap game of a 3 hour long fucking marathon of wanting to gouge my ears out with a pencil.
We didn't do trap this week.
No, we didn't.
And we probably won't be doing trap next week either, honestly. Right. I mean, like, there were trap albums that came out.
Pump lost his album, but whatever.
Yeah,
Fucking
Oh, thank God, Lil Pump. Can you imagine how much worse this week would have been if I actually had to hear Lil Pump's album? Yeah, we were supposed to review Lil Pump this week, but he lost his album, which is great. Keep losing your album. Anyways, before I ask you what you thought of the album, I do want to say that on the point of a lot of songs, not a lot of time. You can see that this Mitski was able to get a lot of ideas out in a short amount of time, with the songs themselves not being that short, and they felt kind of complete too. So I thought that was cool. But Sean, in a broader sense, what did you think about it?
I quite liked it. I didn't really know what to expect because I think I might have heard Mitski years ago on MBE, naturally. And when you put this on the rundown last week, I go, okay. I think I vaguely remember hearing some of her work. And the first two songs really got me in it. And it set the theme up of, like, I wouldn't say love songs, but relationship shit.
Right.
Songs.
Yeah.
But not drowning ones. You know, not
like, it's not sulking.
It's, yeah, exactly. Sometimes you sulk. It's a good mix of just normal life things that happen. And that's, that was the album. The first two songs do that. I actually remember the Why Didn't You Stop Me is a really solid song, which is the second song on the album.
Yeah.
But overall, I quite enjoyed it. And it's, obviously didn't feel long, not being long at all, and each song transitioned quite well, and being short, it didn't feel like each song was 2 minutes long. It felt like it fit, which is strange, because when I saw it, I was only half an hour long. I go, this might feel really like abruptly short, but it didn't. So overall, I quite enjoyed it.
So a couple weeks ago on my Instagram, just for fun, I did this thing where I just like asked people for their music recommendations, like their music recommendations. And I got one that was called Whack World. And it was this 15 minute album where each song was about a minute long. Mm. And it was a very like, the comparisons kind of end here because I'm kind of just describing a way of presenting songs. And in Tierra Whack's Whack World, each song kind of abruptly ended very quickly, but each song was expressing a very new idea and a new, like, voice, I guess. Not to get too much into that, because I think I want to talk about more of these albums that people submitted at some point in the future, but with Be the Cowboy, musically, it's just a lot of different ideas, and there's a lot of range that's packed into this album. So much so that I almost didn't like it the first time I listened to it, because it was just really, it felt all over the place, musically. I listened to it the second time, and it felt a little bit more cohesive. I think the first time I was kind of, with any album listening the first time, it's kind of just testing the waters. Expect. Yeah,
and with this, to me, the first two songs set it up.
Right.
At least for me.
Yeah. I think that's interesting. You can listen to an album totally different ways. But the second time I listened to it, for sure, it all kind of came together and became more cohesive and made sense. And this is the kind of album that the more you listen to it, the more you find things in it to like.
Yeah, it grows It's definitely one of those where I'll be listening to it more and more because there's a lot of hidden themes in it because of how much production went into it.
Yeah.
Not overproducing, but just the amount of experimentation and stuff that was going on with the electronics. And it was good.
Which is a very good balance because I love
it. If she did one notch higher, it would have been way too much.
Yeah, it would have been. Amount. What was that one rock album that came out by the guy from the White Stripes where he released and it was just like all over the place?
Jack White's album. I can't think of the name of his album.
I can look it up right now. But like that album was experimental and all over the place.
Holy hell. Jack White's album was shit.
Boarding House Reach.
Yeah. There you go. That was a disaster.
Yeah.
But this is one of those where, hey, it worked.
Which is...
I mean, I gave Jack White credit, I believe, when we... reviewed it of, hey, at least you tried it. And sometimes you fall flat on your ass and sometimes you do good, and this is the latter, doing good. So
yeah,
or doing well,
but
I should say.
And even more than just sometimes it being like sometimes you fail and sometimes you don't, there's a definite craft to make an album that is experimental, has a lot to throw at you and a lot to dissect, but doesn't feel too overwhelming, which is a lot to balance at the same time. And I didn't, again, that first listen, I didn't know if Mitski had it, but upon listening again, I can tell, oh, there's a lot to be offered here. There's a lot that was put into this, and it's definitely something that sticks out compared to a lot of music from this genre. Like, again, it's R&B in theme, like thematically, but musically, it's much less like easy to pinpoint, which is really great. I mean, we just talked about Ariana Grande, and we said, okay, this is really kind of poppy and it's not really exploring much. This is not the opposite, as in like each part of Ariana Grande's album has some counterpoint in Mitski's album, but like I said, there's just a lot to offer, which is great. Tesla Surfboards, out of 12, worse is worse, more is worse. I would give this like 2 or 3.
Yeah, I was gonna
maybe two and a snapped one.
Yeah, I was gonna give it 2 and like you broke a fin on the other.
Like 2 fins.
Like 2 fins.
It's like you're straight not navigating in the water.
Yeah. You can go straight, kind of.
Yeah.
You're gonna turn and it's just gonna kick out of you.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And the flatbed's waiting at the beach.
And the tax collectors.
Oh Jesus! A repo man's coming for your surfboard.
Yes, tax man.
Oh, and other nightmares. All right. Well, there's some weird drama between Teyana Taylor and Jeremih. They're kind of doing this he said, she said thing where Teyana Taylor's side is saying that... So they were touring together. And Teyana says that Jeremih was lazy, sneaky, and jealous on the tour. Okay. And was acting like a diva. Whereas Whereas Jeremiah says that they had, Teyana was having diva moments, and basically like a quick summary of it. And that they thought they had like a good conversation about everything before like she went out publicly and started talking about Jeremiah and her experience. But apparently it wasn't. It's worth noting that Jeremiah has had this history of people touring with him and then they stopped doing that. Which is like, it's difficult to come down on one of these cases because it's too he said, she said, and thankfully it doesn't seem to be anything like very serious.
Yeah, then who gives a flying fuck?
It's just like, they're going back and forth and these are two people with, at least one of them, with what seems to be an apparent ego problem that goes beyond just this one artist. But that's interesting that's happening.
Whatever, rap beef. Till someone gets shot, I don't care.
Well,
you know that?
We have, just because we can't escape SoundCloud rap or trap just a little bit in this episode, this Tekashi 6ix9ine corner. It's worth pointing out that Nicki Minaj added Fifi to Queen retroactively, which is, I remember when Kanye West was talking about The Life of Pablo and he said, oh, I'm going to edit this album as it comes out. And I go, all right. I always wonder how people who buy physical copies of albums feel about this.
Right? Unless their physical copies are kind of useless.
Therefore,
well, I shouldn't say useless. But they're dying out. It's
yeah.
A different breed.
But one advantage you have of doing digital things is that you can edit it for better or worse.
Usually for worse.
Yeah. I don't like editing songs because then you're like kind of changing what someone likes about a song. And when Kanye changed Fade a little bit, he moved the bass line around in certain parts of the song to where it was like interesting. Not Fade, it was Feedback, sorry. But Fifi was added to Queen mostly because Nicki Minaj really wants to beat Travis Scott on the billboards.
Oh my God, who gives a shit?
No. It's important because Nicki Minaj is willing to use Tekashi 6ix9ine, a child abuser, to get on the charts and get higher on the charts. Yeah. It's not like Queen is suffering on the charts. It's doing very well. It's just not beating Travis Scott.
Because everybody's obsessed with Astro World. It's so good.
It's not that great.
It's not good at all. It's garbage. So Queen was whatever. Fifi's garbage.
I haven't listened to Fifi because I like myself. But and another thing, because I said speaking of rap beef, but shots were fired on the set of Tekashi 6ix9ine and 50 Cent's music video, apparently coming from a white Porsche with New Jersey license plates.
He got Snow Patrol.
Snow Patrol.
Snow Patrol Durabai, I'm so down.
But in the latest in Tekashi 6ix9ine's run-ins with the not law, after being like kidnapped, assaulted, and robbed at gunpoint, and a bunch of other things happening on, and yes, by the way, he is accused of sexual abuse. This should of a minor. This should be pointed out every single time Tekashi 6ix9ine is mentioned in any music journalism ever. But anyways, yeah, he's had a lot of close calls with people, and he has a lot of outstanding beefs, and SoundCloud rap is not safe.
No.
Neither is
dating Elon Musk.
Neither is dating, period, but like especially not.
Whoa, damn, all right. I mean,
dating's not safe. I'm just gonna run out there. Everything is going to go wrong. Eventually. Probably. Anyways. Elon and Grimes are apparently maybe no more because they both unfollowed each other on Twitter, so therefore they're not dating.
Apparently it's because he wants to stop using social media because he's kind of costing himself money. So he said, by doing that, I'll unfollow Grimes because communication. Who cares? I'm not doing whatever.
Yeah, I don't buy it because if he wanted to, like, he's too much of a fame whore to, like,
pay up.
Yeah. Unfollowing your supposed girlfriend or date or whatever is not how you quit using social media. Deleting the apps and.
Deleting the app, doing the Sean of uninstall Snapchat. Delete it.
Yeah.
That is. The way to get off.
Catch me on Signal, everybody. Thank you for...
Delete my messages every 2 hours.
Delete my messages every 1 hour, dude. No one's safe. Thank you for listening to this podcast. It's a super old school one. We're super chill. Next week, I'm really excited because, again, no trap, unless Lil Pump decides to find his album. But we have...
Never dropped out.
Oh, God. Interpol is coming up next week. Justice, an electronic French duo. We like our electronic French duos. And honestly, like, once we get out of August, we're going to be kidding September guns blazing. And the fall of music, like, I think my favorite time doing Audio Face so far has been last fall. Even though it was remotely, like, that was some of the best music we were reviewing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going to be this year, this fall. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. Just like a slight run over of things that are coming out. We've got more Lenny Kravitz. We've got Rudimental. We've got Roosevelt. There's the 1975. There's the Prodigy. There's Muse. And of course, things get announced right around now for things that are still coming out in the fall. So there are names that we haven't heard that we still might hear. Yeah. So keep your eyes out for that. Thank you for listening to Audio Face and subscribing. We appreciate that. Subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Rate us 5 stars, but only if you like the podcast. Yeah, if you hate the podcast, rate us 5 stars. And we will see you next week on episode 62.
Bye.
Cheers.